God is good, and His mercies endure forever. I really want to, and I've been pressed at the moment to follow a theme. How far we'll get, I have no idea. But this really is developing out of over a period of time, really, I suppose. We've talked about worship, haven't we?
Yeah.
And we've talked about our worship should be centred on Jesus.
Yeah.
Much of our so-called, in brackets, worship is songs about me and what I need and how desperate I am, and I need to feel good, God, because if not, I'm not happy with you, and I'm not going to be your friend, and I'm not going to talk to you. Well, being a Christian is not about living in with you just having nice emotions all the time. Is it? No, it's not. Being a Christian is being able to stand in the time of trouble, in the time of distress, and being able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Being a Christian is being able to press through. And do we need a new battery? Oh. Can you just take some of that ring off for me? Pardon? Okay. Just really, it's the moment that you become a Christian, you become an enemy of the devil.
Yeah.
And you're in the firing line.
Yeah.
And if you need to, if you want to succeed at being a Christian, you have to put Jesus first.
Yeah.
But I want to take this another step further. There's something else that we in church life, particularly in the evangelical church life, is really beginning to miss out of.
Yeah.
And it started to come out of, as we were re-studying the Lord's Prayer, which starts off, and Jesus, when his disciples said, "Lord Jesus, teach us how to pray." So that's what they said. Teach us how to pray. And this is what Jesus said. "Pray then in this way." Okay? Get that into your mind. Pray in this way. And he said, "Our Father. Our Father." And today, one of the most important things I want to get over to you and to me is that in evangelical churches, we talk a lot about Jesus. We talk a great deal about Him. We thank Him for that He died on a cross and He rose again and He's cleansed me from my sins. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. And we talk always, it's always about Jesus. But guess what? There's somebody above Jesus. And if it wasn't for the fact of His Father God releasing Jesus to come to this earth to save you, to heal you, to set you free, you wouldn't be here now. And I'm not trying to belittle the work of our Lord Jesus. I'm actually trying to cause us to bring this to another level. That so often that when we worship Jesus, we are focused on Jesus for thanking Him for what He's done for us. And it begins to focus in on ourselves. Jesus has done this for me. Jesus has done that for me. And then it becomes all about me. Salvation. Jesus gave His life and gave salvation for me. And I'm now saved. I've taken Jesus as my Lord and Saviour and my friend. And it's all about me and He's helping me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get this from Jesus. And Jesus is going to do this for me. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it begins to be all about me.
Yeah.
And last week I mentioned, or the week before, I don't remember when, about a book called, not Mega Shift, Meaning of Life. And that we said there's something like 70 trillion stars in our galaxy. And not one of them revolves around you or me. Wow. And God's keeping everything organized. Nothing is revolving around you or me. The word of God, this word, this Bible, the word of God, revolves around the Heavenly Father.
Amen.
If it wasn't for the Heavenly Father sending Jesus, you and I would not be saved today.
No.
If it wasn't for the Heavenly Father sending the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
we would not be moving into the presence and the throne room of God.
Right.
Now, some years ago, we grabbed hold of a verse of Scripture in Corinthians where it talks about that we shall see God when we become mature.
Yeah.
We shall see God face to face.
Yeah.
The veil will be removed.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah?
This is what God wants for us.
Yeah.
This is what the Heavenly Father wants. He wants the veil removed. He wants us to be in relationship with Him. He wants us to have an experience of Him. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 4. The last book in the Bible. Revelation chapter 4. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking unto me, said, Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, I beheld a throne standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. He who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardis in appearance, and there was a rainbow around about the throne like an emerald in appearance. And just a moment. This is John. He has now got a revelation in the dynamics of this. Put the music away. Let's focus on spiritual things. Let's focus on the things of God. Let's get the priorities right in our lives. And John, immediately in the Spirit, is seeing the presence of God and seeing God on the throne. He's not seeing anything else, but he's seeing God the Father. We need to begin to see God the Father. We need to catch a hold of who God really is. You see, we're focusing on so much of ourselves, so much of me and my world and my circumstances and my situation. And guess what? That's exactly what the devil did. He focused on himself. I will exalt my throne above the Most High. I will do this and I will do that. And his downfall came. We need to focus on Father God, the Creator of the universe. We focus on Him through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. Well, the way to where? The way into the presence of Father God, the Creator. That's the way that we need to be. And the problem is today, so many people don't have good father role models to follow. And we're losing a grip of a Father God that has given everything and as reaching out to a world that they might know Him in a greater way. And so we need to focus, readjust our focus. Instead of focusing on our small world, we can focus on the universe of God. We can focus on the great things that God has for us. Verse 4 says, "And around the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments, and golden crowns on their head. And from the throne proceeded flashes of lightning, and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind." You know, this is John beginning to see into the glory and the vastness of the throne room of Father God. And God wants you and I to begin to see His glory and His majesty. And to see who He really is. We need to turn our focus from being man-centered, but to being God-centered. And as we turn our focus onto God, we'll begin to realize how much He loves us. And the vastness that is available for our life. And that our life is not just about a few short 70, 80 years or so. But our life is a life of eternity. Our life is a life where it involves heaven. The heavens. It is a life that involves a God who is the creator of the universe. Your life suddenly changing its dynamics. It's no small thing. Your life suddenly becomes something that is far greater than you can even think. Than you can even imagine. And I've got a vast imagination. But my imagination is still not big enough to know what God wants to do. You see, when I die, life is not over when I die. It's going on. Work doesn't finish when you die. The kingdom of God is not over when you die. Glory to God. Absolutely. We live in the realm of the Spirit. God is Spirit. And so when you meet Jesus and you make Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you suddenly are born again of the Spirit of God. Yeah. And there is a new generation of Spirit within you that means you're going to live forever. Whoa. Yes, James, you're going to live forever. Amen. But so often people say, well, I don't want to live this life forever. You're not going to live this life. There's a life in heaven. There's a life in the presence of God. And the throne room of God, you read Revelation, and it describes something of the throne room, the glory and the majesty of God. Yeah. And we forget to call God Father. But you see, Jesus said, this is how you pray. Our Father. My Father, who art in heaven. In heavenly places. And we begin to realize the magnitude that Jesus is pointing this out to us. Because He wants us to get into a relationship with a Father that loves us, that cares for us. With a Father that can do great things. And with a Father that has a vastness of wealth, a vastness of experience, and a vastness of the universe available to us. Yeah. We're not tied down to this small planet that we live on now. No. There are far greater things. You know, so often we think that this planet was created just for us. It wasn't. It was created for God. He created it for Himself. You see, God is a jealous God. Yeah. And He created you for Himself. He created you for himself, not for the devil, not for the devil to wreck you with drugs and alcohol and other things. But he created you so that he could have a relationship and you could have a relationship with him. And you could know the presence and the power of his greatness. And he could show you mighty things. And so we have to learn to move away from our earthbound viewpoint. We need to move to a heavenly vantage point of eternity. We shall see the wonders of his eternal purpose just coming around us, just coming over us, just encompassing us. But far exceeding the wonders of redemption. You see, redemption, what's redemption? Redemption means I've been redeemed back. I've been bought back from the devil.
Amen.
My life was going to hell.
Yeah.
Your life was going to hell until the day you met Jesus and made him Lord of your life. And suddenly he bought you back off that train. He took you and he paid the price for all your sins, for all my sins, and he bought you back to himself, and he's given you back to God. He's given you back to Father God.
Yeah.
He wants to be your Father.
Yeah.
Thankfully, God's plans and purposes are not limited by my needs or your needs.
Yeah.
His plans are bigger than my needs. His purposes are bigger than my needs. God is on the throne. In Revelation it speaks there that he is on the throne. And there is lightning and flashes. There is energy. There is power. There is majesty. There is glory. But he's coming from the Creator, Father God, the Creator of the universe. God wants you to be lifted up, to see greater things. God wants you to be above your circumstances. God does not want you just focusing on the situations and circumstances around you. He wants you to be able to rise up, to lift your eyes above.
Yeah.
And to see, look up from whence cometh your help, the Bible says. You've got to learn to look up, look beyond. Look beyond you, look beyond you and your family. Look beyond and see the greater vision. Look beyond and see the greater goal. Look beyond and realize that where you are now, the thoughts and the dreams that you had, the failures that have come into your life, the things that have held you back, look beyond them.
Amen.
God is able, Father God is able to do great and mighty things in and through your life. But it is getting a grip of Father God. It is taking your eyes off yourself. Taking your eyes off the situations. And it's putting your eye on Father God.
Amen.
There's an old saying, isn't there, Edwin? Take your eye off the ball and you'll miss it. You know, if you play ball sports and you have a racket, you take your eye off the ball even as it's coming towards you. You think you've got it in your vision and you look away, you will miss it.
Yeah.
Or you will not strike it cleanly. Same when you play cricket. You've got to keep your eye on the ball. The problem is we've not kept our eye on Father God. We've let it slip.
Yeah.
We're looking at ourselves. We're looking at our circumstances. We're feeding our needs.
Yeah.
I need this. I need that. There's a verse of Scripture which says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't have to look after my needs. He's capable of looking after my needs.
Yeah.
God's capable of looking after me. So I need to focus on the one who's going to look after me. And that's God.
Yeah.
Father God. We were talking on Friday night. Give us this day. Was it Friday? Wednesday night. Thank you. Give us this day.
Amen.
Our daily
bread.
Whatever we have need for today. But Father God, give it to us. Provide for us. But I'm going to stay focused on you. I'm going to stay focused, God, on the bigger picture.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. It's important to be faithful. To be faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul's got it right. Paul's got it right. He's focusing on God. He's focusing on God our Father. Verse 3, he goes on to say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." You don't need to ask God for a blessing when you're walking in His plans, when you're walking in His purposes, when you're walking in right relationship, when you're worshipping Father God. The blessings will flow.
Amen.
It's automatic. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. You don't have to worry about the circumstances for tomorrow. He says, He clothes the fields with grass.
Yeah.
The birds of the air, He feeds them all.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry, it says. Focus on the big picture. You know the old story, get a piece of white paper, put two dots on it, and you say to people, "What can you see?" Two dots. There's a great big piece of white paper. Where everybody focuses on the two dots.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to focus on the big picture that is spiritual to us.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, and I'll say this reverently, it is bigger than Jesus.
Yeah.
It is bigger than Jesus. There's more in the Old Testament than there is in the New Testament, and that was before Jesus. And I'm not going back to the law, but what I'm saying is we need to focus. We need to focus on the full picture, that it is because of Father God that has done that work in our lives, that has sent Jesus into this earth to die for us so that we might receive eternal life. Verse 4 of Ephesians 1. Just as He... Who's He? Father God. Just as Father God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Just as Father God chose us in Father God before the foundations of the world, that we, you and me, should be holy and blameless before Father God in love. We don't stand before Jesus. We stand before Father God. On the judgment day, we don't stand before Jesus. We stand before Father God. He's the final judge. Jesus is your lawyer.
Yeah.
Jesus is the advocate.
Yeah.
He's standing by your side. He's pleading your case.
Amen.
He's standing and declaring salvation over you.
Amen.
But the great judge is Father God.
Yeah.
You need to get to know Him. You need to realize that He loves you and that He cares for you. You go to churches and you listen. How many people pray to Father God? They're all praying to Jesus. A misunderstanding of a verse of Scripture. Jesus said, "Ask anything in My name, the Lord Jesus Christ, and My Heavenly Father, who is in heaven, will give it to you."
Yeah.
We missed that bit out We've now decided we're just going to ask Jesus. Now, and I'm going to say another one that's going to may upset some people, but I don't care. Jesus does not have anything to give you. He does not own it. It is God who owns all things. All things belong to God. Jesus handed the kingdom back to God. So if he's handed it back, he has nothing. I'm not trying to downgrade Jesus, don't get me wrong. Please. But realize that we need to do as Jesus said. Ask anything in my name. Who are you asking it of? You should be asking it of Father God. And as you ask it of Father God, then he says to you, what's the 5-digit security code? Jesus. There you go. You know, you have your PIN numbers for your credit cards, and you have to punch your PIN numbers in. Well, what's your gospel PIN number? J-E-S-U-S. Can you see where I'm trying to get to today? I'm trying to break some ground up because I believe there is something far greater when we start to honour the Father. I believe we can bring Father ministries, we can bring Father God, we can bring fathers into the kingdom of God when we learn to honour the Father. We can cause people to have a better understanding of what a father is really like when we worship and praise a father who created the universe. And the word tells us that he created us even before the foundations of the earth. He knew us. Wow. Verse 5 of Ephesians 1. He predestined us to adoption. That means he'd already planned. He'd already got a plan and a purpose worked out, and that he had planned that he was going to adopt you into his family. Today you've been adopted into the family of God. The moment you ask Jesus into your life, you are adopted into the family of God.
Amen.
Adoption papers have just been signed in heaven for somebody who's taken Jesus as their Lord and Saviour.
Amen.
You're no longer a United Kingdom citizen, you suddenly become a heavenite.
Yeah.
You belong to the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And it's stamped and sealed with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Thank you.
But it's written and it's kept in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
He has predestinated us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself.
Yeah.
To himself? Who's that to? He has predestinated us as adoption as sons through Jesus to Father God. We are adopted to Father God according to the kind intention of his will. God's being kind to us. It's God's intention. He wants to adopt every one of us. It's God's intention. He wants to be our Father.
Yeah.
It's God's intention. It's God's plan. He wants to be your Father. And he wants you to talk to him.
Yeah.
And he wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
He wants to have a family friendship and a family relationship.
Yeah.
Of love and joy and blessings and peace. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of Father God's grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. He's given his grace, his mercy, his kindness, his coming towards us because of Jesus. And he's done it because of that the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Verse 7 says, "And in Him we have redemption through His blood, and the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace." God is ministering. Father God is paying the price. The Word tells us that Father sent Jesus down to this earth as a baby to be the Saviour of the world. Amen. Father God could have said, "I'm not doing that." Could have turned around and said, "I'm doing away with them all." But He didn't. He's a jealous God. Because when He created you, He created you to live. He created you to enjoy life. And so He's jealous of that. He's jealous of you. And God will not have worship going anywhere else other than Him, Father God. All power and all authority goes through the throne room. Believe it or not. If God hasn't authorized it, it is not going to happen.
Amen.
Remember that. If God does not authorize what is going on, then it's not going to happen. It's not going to be a blessing. So many people just think if they say in the name of Jesus, it'll happen. The problem is, as I said, they're just taking their request to Jesus. He says, "You go to the Father. Come into the throne room. Come boldly into His throne room. And come in with the name of Jesus on your lips." But you have to learn to worship God first. Have to worship Him. In Ephesians 1 we find, when we look and we say, who are we talking about? We're talking about God the Father. And what? He's chosen us. He's picked us out to be sons in His family. To have eternal life. To have eternal destiny. And to be secure. He tells us that we were chosen before the foundations of the world. He tells us that we were made and created for His pleasure. See, God takes pleasure in good things. God is a God that enjoys life. God is a God who enjoys His creation.
Amen.
And God created all things that all things would worship Him.
Yeah.
And the moment that we start worshipping something else, God gets jealous.
Yeah.
You can worship money.
Yeah.
You can worship alcohol. You can worship drugs. You can worship women. You can worship cars. You can worship motorbikes. But God gets jealous. You can worship your job.
Yeah.
God gets jealous.
Yeah.
You can worship your husband. You can worship your wife. And God is jealous.
Yeah.
God will have nothing. Father God will have nothing before Him.
Yeah.
You can worship university. You can worship school. You can worship your girlfriend. But when it comes down to everything, it is God first.
Yeah.
And if it is not God first, then God is not primary moving in your life. God is a jealous God.
Yeah.
God will not give His worship to anybody else. God wants you to realize that He desires your worship. Because when you worship Him, He can bless you. When you worship Him, the channel's clear and He can minister to you. And you can hear His voice. You can know His plans and His purposes for your life. And life will not be just a boring thing. Life will not be dependent on your job. Life will not be dependent on how much money you earn or how much money you've got in the bank. Life is not dependent on that. Life is dependent on worshipping of Father God. And He says, I will give all things to you. That's right. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And He says, and all these other things shall be added to you. But we don't, do we? We seek other things.
Yeah.
We seek other pleasures.
Yeah. Yeah.
We seek other ways. Yeah. And then you say, why is my life not being fulfilled? Why am I unhappy? Why am I sad? Why do I feel I'm on a merry-go-round? And it won't stop. I can't get off.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're not seeking Father God.
Yeah.
You're seeking things for yourself. You're seeking yourself.
Yeah.
You're seeking self-satisfaction.
Yeah.
There's a song by the Stones. Three of them know it. I can't get no satisfaction. And you won't. A drug addict is never satisfied with his drug. Because he constantly chases the next fix. So that means if he's chasing the next fix, he's never satisfied by his first one, his second one, his third one, his fifth one. And so he continues and continues until that habit devours him. The alcoholic chases the drink. The last glass didn't satisfy, so I'll have another and another and another. And the only time he stops is when he falls down and he can't pick the glass up again. But he's still not satisfied. You see people, and they chase job after job after job, position after position after position, money after money after money, houses, 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 changing houses. I knew somebody who changed house every 18 months. And they said to me, well, I'm climbing the ladder. I'm climbing the ladder. I thought, boy, what a ladder. Chasing, and all the time, chasing the goal of money, wealth, driven by it. And yet never satisfied. Not, that's true, John. Not enjoying it neither. Was a bitter person inside. If you knew him, he was a bitter person. An angry person. And he was constantly chasing this invisible dream or that he had, this invisible goal. And yet even today, we know there are banks that are suddenly just going like that.
Yeah.
We knew just a few months ago there's a panic in this country.
Yeah.
Northern Rock. Mm-hmm. People are queuing up outside, got to get my money out. Got to get my money out.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't get my money out, I'll have nothing left. In the 30s, banks and shares and businesses, overnight, went bust. People climbed skyscrapers and said, I've got nothing left.
Yeah.
I've got nothing in life worth living for. And jumped off the edge of ice of these skyscrapers and sailed down to their deaths.
Yeah.
And yet God says, I can supply all your needs according to my riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Father God says, I can meet your needs. Father God was in the wilderness for 40 years with the children of Israel, which was over 2 million people. And He fed them and kept them and looked after them. And their shoes and their clothes never wore out. God never missed a beat. Father God was there constantly feeding His family. But they had to be in relationship with Him. We need to realize that God is our Father. Jesus is part of the picture. Well, let's get to the big picture. Don't stop at the cross. Don't stop at being baptized in water. Don't stop at being baptized in the Spirit. See the big picture. See that God loves you. See that God is going to keep you. See that God is going to get you off your alcohol. He's your Father. He loves you. He cares for you. He's daily, constantly has His eye upon you. He's assigned angels to protect you, to be near you. But you've got to keep a relationship going with Father God. Yes, I know, it's all through Jesus. And I'm not putting down the work of Jesus. But if God did not let Jesus go from heaven, then you and I would not have an answer today. And this world would be totally lost. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 8, please. And verse 28 of John's Gospel, chapter 8. Verse 28, Jesus therefore said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He. And I do nothing of my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me." Jesus said, "I'm just going to say exactly what my Father God instructed me to say. If you want to know what to say, ask the Father. Ask the Father. If you don't want to know what to do, ask the Father." And come on, and you just might think, well, you're nitpicking now. Because people always go and ask Jesus, "Lord Jesus, what should I do?" Read your Bible, because you're not doing. Read your Bible, because you're not doing. And I know you're not reading your Bible. If you come and ask me afterwards how I know that you're not reading your Bible, I'll tell you how I know. Okay? But I know you're not reading your Bible. Read your Bible. And Jesus said, But I speak these things as the Father taught me. The Father will teach you through His Word. And He, Father God, who sent me is with me. And He, Father God, has not left me alone. For I always do the things that are pleasing to Him, Amen. Father God. I know it doesn't say Father God in there, in my Bible. But can you see the point I'm trying to bring out to you? This is who Jesus is talking about. You can so easily get distracted by the Him, you know. And Him. Who's Him? God. Elohim.
Amen.
The creator of the universe. The creator of you. The healer of you. The deliverer of you. Elohim. God Almighty, God Victorious. That's who Jesus is speaking with. Wow. And He, Father God, who sent me, Jesus, is with me, Jesus. He, Father God, has not left me, Jesus, alone. For I always do the things that are pleasing to Father God. Can we do this? Can we do it like this? And He, Father God, who sent me, Andrew, is with me, Andrew. Father God has not left me, Andrew, alone. For Andrew always does the things that are pleasing to Father God. Wish it would be so. But that is a goal.
Amen.
Can you put your name in there? Are you willing to put your name in there? Why? Because it says that through Christ Jesus, dying on a cross for you and for me, we are suddenly become the sons of God. And we can call Him Father because we are the sons of God. Just as Jesus is the Son of God, so we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We're in that family. He's our Father. And so we can begin to say, put your name in. Make this book personal. Make this book personal. And let God begin to move in your lives. I'm going to just close there for now. But I want you to just go away with thoughts today that God is your Father and that you need to refresh. We need to refresh our relationship with Father God. Jesus is our advocate. Jesus is the one who stands and speaks. But we're allowed into the presence of our Heavenly Father because He loves us and He cares for us. And we can say, Our Father. We can say, or you can say, I can say, My Father, who art in heaven. You can personalize the Lord's Prayer. And I know you think, well, where is heaven? And we always look up, don't we? But around us, God is present. You say, well, people might think I'm mad talking to myself. Sometimes you get better answers talking to yourself, or what appears to be talking to yourself. But when you begin to speak out, My Father God, who art in heavenly places, hallowed, reverenced, mighty, awesome, magnificent is your name. Let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done. In me. In me, O Lord. Let your kingdom come. In me. Let your will be done. In me. Get me off alcohol. Get me off drugs. Get me off the wrong things I focus on. Money. Get me off all the wrong things. And focus on Jesus. That's all you need to begin to pray. As you start to pray that, then your Heavenly Father will begin to move heaven and earth and situations and circumstances around you. Why? Because He wants to bless you. He wants to meet your need. He wants you to know His power, His glory, and His victory in your life. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a moment in prayer.